Welcome to CL Talk, the leading podcast for the legal profession across Canada, brought to you by Canadian Lawyer Magazine. Welcome to CL Talk. I'm Tim Wilbur, the managing editor of Canadian Lawyer Magazine. Today, I'm speaking with Linda Bierstow, president of MT Align and a partner at McCarthy Tatrell. Bierstow will also be appearing at Canadian Lawyer's upcoming Women in Law Summit in Toronto in April, where she will be speaking about the role of senior leadership in advancing diversity in the law. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you very much, Tim, for this opportunity.
First off, can you describe your journey within the legal profession and what led you to your current position at McCarthy Tatrell?
Certainly. I have been blessed, Tim, for having held senior executive and GC roles in various sectors, including financial services, pharmaceuticals, automotive, and power and utilities. I started my legal career as a commercial real estate lawyer at Faskins. Then I joined the DuPont legal team for many years. Thereafter, I was hired away from DuPont by an automotive company. And years later, I was hired away again by a pharmaceutical company, and following that by a power and energy company. So I've been hired away each time to create a legal department from scratch. And in my last position, we spent annually about $20 million in legal spend. And I was used to clients saying that the legal department is a cost center. I'm sure, you know, many of your listeners must be familiar with that. Legal department is the legal resistance department, and they're nothing but a cost center. So that led me to think that maybe we need a change. And the way we would change is ensuring that the legal department became a profit center. So I asked myself, you know, how does a legal department become a profit center rather than a cost center? And I thought that what we needed to do was change or transform the way we engaged or collaborated with our external law firms. And so through discussions with our external law firms, we came up with various legal models, such as value billing, because we felt that the traditional legal model where law firms charge us by the billable hours was not working. So we kicked around the notion of value-based billing, and that too didn't work. So that led me to think that maybe it was time to disrupt the legal services, the delivery industry. The goal really was to design innovative legal models to provide more efficient, cost-effective, and client-centric services. So in 2018, I was approached by a former colleague, Judith McKay, who is our Chief Clients and Innovation Officer at McCarthy. She asked if I wanted to co-lead with her a new division of McCarthy, which provides alternative legal services, but within the law firm. I thought that was a very novel and interesting concept, and I eagerly jumped at that opportunity to implement my dream initiative, as it were. Thus, MT Align was officially launched in 2019, and I became the president in 2020. And as I was saying, leading MT Align is really my dream job because it allows me to draw from my previous legal and business experiences.
I just want to ask a bit about MT Align before you continue, because I know it's really an innovative solution at McCarthy's. Can you tell me a bit about its objectives and how it's been received at the firm?
Well, again, MT Align was born out of our commitment to our customers' needs. We were hearing things like our clients wanted placements, or they wanted more cost-effective and efficient services. So the firm being innovative, we have a very innovative culture, Tim, as you know, came up with this idea of MT Align being an alternative legal services provider, but within the law firm. And in fact, you know, our name, we spent a lot of time, Matt Peters, Judith and I, coming up with the name. Our name conveys a platform which conveys efficiency, and we align to the interests of our clients, our MT Align lawyers, and our law firm. How was it received? Initially, there were many questions by the partners, how this model would work. But over the last 5 years, we are now celebrating our fifth anniversary. We have proven that this model could be very, very successful. And now we don't have anybody questioning the efficacy of this model because we have been successful and we are indeed thriving. And our internal lawyers look to us for resources when they need a cost effective and specialized services.
That's great. It's really interesting. And how do you see your role in shaping the firm's culture? You said it's been well received now that it's been demonstrated to be effective. But is this kind of percolating back to the broader McCarthy culture, and especially or particularly regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion?
This is a very good question, Tim. I mean, as a partner of the firm and president of MKLine, I'm mindful of being a role model and leading by example. And as a leader of a new and innovative alternative legal service provider within the firm, I am, in a sense, creating a culture of DEI and related policies from scratch. However, I am drawing extensively from the firm's Inclusion Now program.
Great. And I know we've covered the Inclusion Now program at McCarthy's in the past. Mm-hmm. So I can see, you know, how that fits in. And at the conference, you'll be speaking about the importance of senior leaders driving DEI goals. So how have you applied that in this particular case?
Again, MKLine, this is our fifth year. We are very mindful and purposeful about implementing our Inclusion Now program through our hiring practices in terms of hiring my own team members or placing individuals with clients or attracting talent to our program. So it permeates everything we do, Tim.
Great. And I know, you know, a big part of DEI or how to think differently about achieving DEI goals has been changing how you recruit and retain talent. How do you see that in your group at the firm?
For MKLine, we have some innovative strategies to attract and retain diverse top talent. For example, one of the things we did last year and we continue to expand and grow is to onboard retiring partners to our platform. MKLine is an ideal platform, for example, for our retired partners to continue their practices if they want to continue practicing law on a flexible basis. It is a win-win for our clients, for the lawyer and firm. The second way we go out of our way to attract and retain diverse top talent is to pair our clients with lawyers trained in foreign jurisdictions. These are just two examples. Recently, we paired two excellent Nigerian-trained lawyers with several large multinational companies. Our clients have been impressed and pleased with our placements, and these foreign-trained lawyers are given opportunities that they would not otherwise have obtained. And thirdly, I guess, I don't know whether this is innovative or novel, but certainly it has been the key to our success. Our McCarthy lawyers and our clients and our MKLine lawyers are our best recruiters in that they, through word of mouth, they promote and encourage their friends and colleagues to consider MKLine because of their own positive experiences with us.
Flexible working practices, I know, is a big part of what you offer. So how does that work? Like if I was a lawyer who would be interested in your division, what would you say to me about why it's different working for you than it is working at a traditional Bay Street job?
Let me give you an example. During the COVID lockdown, we had a lawyer who decided to move with her family to the Caribbean. And there she practiced law from a houseboat, as it were, for several months. So that lawyer was able to continue her practice abroad for a short period of time. And our clients, you know, didn't mind where she was, so long as she was delivering on what she was asked to deliver. And we also have lawyers who are called to the bar in Quebec, for instance, practicing law in another province because we have this reciprocal rule and ability to do that with the arrangements by the various law societies. So we have a lawyer in Quebec helping a client in Alberta for under 50 hours a year. We also have clients who require our lawyers for short mandates. We, as an example, have a young father who is only able to work from 2 o'clock onwards because he's a primary caregiver. So we are able to give him work that suits his schedule. So we are very, very flexible. Our lawyers pick and choose whatever it is they want to work on, and they decide, you know, how they want to deliver the services and where they want to deliver the services from.
Great. So that sounds like there's a lot more flexibility offered. How do you think this could be a model, maybe for the legal profession more broadly, for how work could get done in the profession?
Absolutely, Tim. I think the key really is collaboration. You really need to have this culture of a collaboration between the lawyers, MTLIN contract lawyers and the clients, and collaboration between the clients and the firm. And with collaboration, I think that our model can be duplicated. And in fact, within the firm, McCarthy, we now have a hybrid model. We are required to work from the office 3 days a week. And 2 days a week, it could be working from the home office. And additionally, we allow our employees to work anywhere in the world for 2 weeks a year. So it's wonderful to see this flexible work practices both in the firm and within MTLIN.
Great. And just talking more broadly about how to, you know, eliminate the barriers that prevent achieving more diversity in the legal profession, how have do you feel your what you're offering or what you've learned through this has illuminated what some of the barriers are and how they could be removed?
Well, some of the barriers to creating a diversity and inclusion in our teams are the following. I mean, the first and the obvious one is unconscious bias, stereotyping. For example, we sometimes tend to hire people who have similar backgrounds to ourselves. For example, I might be inclined to hire someone who went to a prestigious law school, articled and worked at a prestigious law firm. So in order to prevent that, what we have done is we have customized or standardized behavioral interview questions to prevent that bias. And also we have bias training. And oftentimes we have clients who would say to us, or would say to me, we're looking for a lawyer with 5 to 8 years of experience. And I would say, well, you know, we have a wonderful pool of senior lawyers, of former GCs who would be fantastic for this role. And they would push back. And so, you know, after convincing them that the more senior lawyer would be able to hit the ground running, and in fact, the rates would be comparable to a mid-level lawyer, they often give the senior lawyer a chance. And that has worked really, really well, Tim, to the point where our lawyers or our clients are asking for not only mid-level lawyers, but also senior seasoned lawyers.
Great. And another concept that's often brought up when speaking about improving diversity is psychological safety and resilience, those kinds of ideas. How do you work on those things, or how does that manifest itself in your workplace?
Oh, this is a topic very near and dear to my heart, Tim. Really, I do think that the key is to create a culture of belonging. You really need to create a super team where everyone feels that they belong. And so my personal style of your leadership is that of servant leadership, meaning that I work for the team, not the other way around. And so I believe that if the team knows that their leader cares and have their backs, the team members in turn will have this feeling of psychological safety, and through coaching, they will become resilient. As my coach is fond of saying, it's not about creating a superstar. It is about, you know, creating a super team. And one of the things I started doing during the COVID lockdown was to have weekly meetings with the team where each person was free to either share a safety moment or tell a story, a positive story, or share anything that might be on their minds. And this way, we sort of check in with each other to ensure that everyone is doing well. And with that structure, we have developed this sense of community, this collaboration, and this sense of trust. And it has increased their wanting to excel and indeed thrive within this, what I call, super team.
Great. And last thing I'll ask is MTLIN is, you know, it's fairly new. What are your hopes or plans for whether it will grow or how it will integrate itself with the larger firm at McCarthy Tétrault?
The team, as I was saying, it's our fifth anniversary this month, in fact, and we have 160 lawyers part of our community. We receive about 200 applications a month, Tim, to join our community. However, we now have a very rigorous selection and recruitment process because our goal really is to attract and retain high caliber lawyers. In terms of Empty Line being an ALSP within the firm, I think that now and indeed into the future, we'll continue to scale up, and the firm sees Empty Line as an extension of itself. So it's quite seamless the way we provide services to each other, to the firm, and to our clients.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Linda. And we look forward to seeing you at the Women in Law Conference to speak more about these topics. I hope to speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Tim, for your time and this opportunity.
Thank you for tuning in to CL Talk. You can listen to the latest episodes on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and all major listening channels. Just search for CL Talk.